This episode is sponsored by Cruise Planners, aka Dell's Travel Company. If you need to take a trip anywhere, whether it's in the country or out of the country, then Dell's Travel Company is for you. I myself used this service on my honeymoon, but it got me from Philadelphia to Manchester to Liverpool to London to Paris, all places I had no idea what to do when I was there, and I just followed my itinerary and I was all set. So if you want to find out more about this company, stay tuned to the middle of the episode to find out how to join his mailing list.
Everybody, welcome to Scene Invaders episode 242. I am joined with Chone and Chuck. I'm Brad from Canada, and we're gonna have a lot of fun tonight. So, gentlemen, let's get right into it. How you been?
That was probably the most Canadian way we've ever introduced an episode on Scene Invaders.
I am
ever
all high energy, all the rest. Come on.
Real high energy, Brad. I love it. Sean, I love it.
How have you been? What's happening?
How have I been? I'm freaked out right now because I feel like you're on like a downer and I want some. You just went straight down. Anyway, I'm doing good. I'm always doing some relatively good. I, like I said on the previous episode, did not go to my family, stayed in, and I had the time of my life, and it's a new tradition.
Perfect. Keep that up. Chuck, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm hanging in there.
By two hands?
Yeah, huh? Right. There you go. The second hand's up there now. Yep. All right, perfect. I won't let go.
We all hang in. Well, if you guys have bothered to listen, as long as you're listening, I want you to like and subscribe and share. Scene Invaders podcast. This is episode 242. Could you imagine doing anything 242 times?
I can.
Yeah. We've joined on. So let's keep this trend rolling. It's pretty simple. We talk video games. We talk comic books. We talk movies. Anything on a screen, which they're all on screens now. We are Scene Invaders. So let's start off. What have we been watching? Sean, what have you been watching?
First off, please do not refer to me at my government name. I don't like that. I will be identified as Chone.
Oh, my apologies.
Look, okay. Canadian. Oh God, sorry. You're still Canadian.
Sorry. Jeez. Sorry.
Gosh, we're gonna replace the little gun with like a flat. What was that?
So, Mr. Chone, what have you been watching?
Great segue. I've been watching. I started watching Hitmonkey, which is on Hulu, which has Jason Sudeikis and Olivia Munn. This is based off the adaptation of the comic book, Marvel comic book, Hitmonkey, where this gun for hire, kind of like Wade Wilson without any mutant powers or anything like that, gets killed, blibbity blah, his soul gets connected to a monkey. The monkey wears a suit and tie and glasses and kills people, and like it's kind of like he's not really human, but he like acts like a person, you know what I mean? Like you see monkeys in the zoo and shit, they start like looking at it. He's like, oh shit, you're kind of a person, you're just a little monkey person. So he's kind of like a little monkey person running around. I love it. It's fucking awesome. It's you know, I'm such a huge fan, especially as a comic book fan, some kind of one-offs, and Hitmonkey's kind of been around. He's not a huge fucking character, but like, you know of him, you know, he's somewhat of a new character a little bit, but he's more so kind of a side character, background character. But you know, you're somewhat not disappointed when you pick up a book and kind of look, you know, kind of read it. But I liked it. Jason Sudeikis, obviously, of course, from Ted Lasso fame, he's brilliant in it. And yeah, and SNL when it was kind of funny. It was good. You know, it's good. And it's awesome too, because like, it's a little bit refreshing to have him go from like Ted Lasso, where he's like really up and, you know, believe to like, fuck you, let's kill this person. Blah, blah, blah. He's a scumbag and it's awesome. So that's refreshing.
He's the voice of Hitmonkey.
He's not the voice of Hitmonkey. He's really the voice of the spirit who's tagged like to Hitmonkey. So he's a real person, but he died. Okay. And, you know, you got to watch the show. It, you know, the monkeys kind of take him in, and he's one of the one outcasts that says, listen, this man's bad. And then, you know, I don't want to spoil it for you, but then they kind of get connected. Their souls get entwined, if you will. And
live action?
Is it live action? No, it's not live action.
Okay.
And it's cartoons.
George Takei's in it too.
Excuse me.
Cast George Takei. He's in it.
George Takei is in it. Yes, really? It's set in Tokyo.
Yeah, right.
Hello.
Yeah, exactly. You're right.
Hello. Yeah, that's probably the worst George Takei.
No, that was actually good. That's how he says hello. Yep.
Hello.
I'm back.
William Shatner will not go to my wedding.
Yeah, right.
So you'd recommend it? Check it out. What platform is it on?
It's on Hulu. So it's pretty good. I would definitely check it out. There's a bunch of episodes really to watch of it. So that's pretty good. I checked out Masters of the Universe. The second part. Revelations.
Yeah, Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith and Mark.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was awesome. I really love it. I don't know if you guys.
I saw a couple of episodes and stuff, and I got a real kick out of it too. That was one of my what I've been watching. I watched the original way back in the day, and it is truly a continuation, but they just kind of updated it. And I know it's getting panned by a lot of people, but I really enjoy it. They say the writing is too simple, but I don't know, man. If you watched the original, that writing was simple too.
That was definitely simple.
I mean, it's complex compared to those kind of stages of writing. Oh, yeah, absolutely. The original, of course. Absolutely. You know, the original was just to sell toys.
Mm-hmm. And they did. Mm-hmm.
They sold a lot.
Yeah, and I love those. So, yeah, I love those toys, actually. I loved them back in the day. They were awesome.
Show me a kid that did it. A couple months ago,
they did a re-release of old school toys with just a little thing. And I came across a toy that eluded me way back in the day. And I had to buy it. And I overpaid for it. And my daughter looked at me like, why are you buying this? And I'm like, because you don't need to go to college. And I knew
right. Yeah.
What was it? What toy did you buy?
Baker.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh my God! Yeah. So it's
very Canadian to not even buy the original He-Man. We bought the fake one. So
yeah, right. Oh my God!
Yeah. We aim appropriate, not high, not low.
Oh wow, awesome! So there's no McGills in the young lady's future, is there?
No.
Okay.
Maybe trade school.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Maybe trade school. Probably the streets.
Learn to weld. It worked out really well for me.
Awesome. Yeah. Learn to weld. Exactly. So after that great parenting advice, what else have I watched? I'm happy you like Master of the Universe. I watched the South Park post-COVID, which is on Paramount Plus, and it's like a little movie. It's so fucking funny. Like Trey Parker and Matt Stone fucking hit it out of the park. When you think they're not gonna do a good episode or a good show, they just turn it on your head and go, boom, here you go. It's fantastic. Have you guys seen it?
I haven't yet. How many actual episodes of South Park are there?
Like, oh, there's not enough.
No, but they gotta be like rolling up to like Simpsons numbers, right?
Oh, they have to be close. Yeah,
they can turn around an episode in like, what was it, 10 days, like
from, I think less now. Yeah,
from writing to production to actually on screen, it's like 10 days, because everything's very simple. The average like adult animated thing that's not that trash. It takes like about a year to fully produce and stuff, and these guys are just knocking it out all like gorilla style.
Well, sometimes back in the heyday of the pandemic, and it's so weird to say the heyday of the pandemic, but there was an actual point of the pandemic where I think we were even talking about this on the on a few of the episodes, is that Hollywood slowed down, live action stuff halted, but animation fucking drove in numbers and just drove up, and they didn't stop. They probably started mass producing shit.
If you had a decent internet connection, like,
oh yeah, and listen,
half the guys built studios and soundstage recording things in their home just to bang out their lines.
That's my next job, actually, is to build a sound studio. Well, not a sound studio, but add onto a closet to make it a sound studio for a voice actor that I know.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I mean, I'm working from home. I need the closet bigger so I can go in there and record.
Oh, awesome. Cool.
Yep. So yeah, you're absolutely right. That's what people are doing. They're taking it to their houses. Yep.
Yeah. Chris Parnell was doing it, and he does Archer. He does so many of these. He does his Jerry on Rick and Morty. He was just recording in a closet. But that's awesome that that you on there are not only going to do that,
but you're
also probably going to get this guy to come on the episode.
Girl, but I could. I could.
It's find a out girl what, or girl. I'm forgive me. Yeah, I apologize.
But I don't know if she's doing commercials or if she's doing like TV.
Doesn't matter. I want to hear about the
actually to see what it is. Exactly. I could. Yeah. I'll talk to her. Yeah.
Everybody knows the voice actress Tara Strong. She was Batgirl. She's been in.
She was Miss Minutes. Hey y'all. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right.
Well, I read an interview with her that she's from Toronto, Canadian gal, and she said the only way to really make any kind of voice acting money is to get the hell out of Canada. Because apparently there was no money in it. So she went to Los Angeles, and now she's Tara Strong.
Wow. Wow.
And it's fantastic. And that's how a lot of these stories and a lot of these guys and gals and everybody else in between come up.
You learn your chops in Canada, then you make money in the States.
And another show that is heavy filmed in Canada that I've been watching has been Flash. And they're doing this Flash Armageddon. What is that sound? Can someone turn them?
Oh no, sorry, my phone just clicked. Sorry, go.
Yeah. Good lord.
I'm sorry. It's all
professionalism right out the window.
Why is it even on? Why is it even on a sound? You can't. You're so old. You can't hear it.
I'm surprised. Well, it was next to the computer. That's why I didn't know, but.
Could be next to your skull. You couldn't hear it. Anyway, so I've been watching Flash Armageddon. Flash Armageddon is this five part series they're doing on CW, and in all honesty, it's just to keep the whole entire DC CW universe afloat. It's only like two episodes that they've dropped, and like it's good. They essentially, what this really is like, let's take the Flash and rip everything that he holds near and dear from him and see him crack. And it's okay. I mean, there's been a lot more turns and twists than I that they normally do. So we'll see. I mean, it's pretty entertaining so far, but like a lot of these seasons and a lot of these series have kind of like flayed off, you know. Supergirl is kind of done.
What season is this now?
Season 8.
All right. So I just started back on, is it Netflix? I think it's on Netflix. I just started season 3 and I'm watching now.
I'm trying to catch up.
So I mean, I love The Flash. I thought that was one of the better ones of all that. Was not WB. Was it W? Not
CW.
CW. I thought that was the best of all that CW's. But I did like, I thought Arrow was good, but his what's his name? The Arrow. His acting.
Stephen Amell.
Yeah. When he acted, he played the Arrow very well, but when he wouldn't look at people when he was talking, when he's trying to be serious, like, check out Arrow. And when he's talking to somebody, he's trying to be really serious, he doesn't look him in the eye. He looks down.
Yeah.
I had a problem with that.
I don't know.
That's his acting. He does that in everything.
It's a choice, and there's a lot of actors there's a lot of actors that, and there's a lot of directors that make you you have to stand in one spot, but you have to look at this prop and look at this red light.
That's true.
But, well, you guys are at different stages. Chuck, you're on season 3. Joan, you're on the latest season. Chuck, you sound like you're excited to watch it, and Joni's is with all these shows, with us being inundated with every other show, animated, live action, you got Titans, you got Doom Patrol, you've got like myriad of other things, Young Justice. Is the rose off the bloom when it comes to The Flash? Like, is it winding down? Should it wind down?
That's a great question. I think so. I don't think for this season, but I think like going into season 9 and season 10, like a lot of these shows, like, you can't be Supernatural. They ran for like 17 seasons or whatever ridiculous number that they left. Well, and it was still
show does not go longer, like 10 seasons. That's ridiculous. Like, this is
8
like
seasons is the Big Bang Theory
anymore. And like, if you don't grab somebody with the streaming platforms and all that, if you don't grab somebody in the first season, you're lucky if you get half of a second season. And 22 episodes a season is a ridiculous amount.
Correct. Well, you're lucky if the real trick is not necessarily that you're going to get the season 2. You're probably going to get the season 2. The trick is, are you going to get the season 3? Because a lot of these networks, if it is a flop, they have to do a season 2 because it's how they recoup their money.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Well, like I said, Flash was one of the better one. I don't know what made it better, because it was a little, it was flashier, and I don't mean that in, to be funny, but it was flashier than the other ones. Right. But Supergirl, Arrow was dark. Flash was, I would say, in the middle, like, okay. It had dark moments, but it had lighter moments.
More levity.
Yeah. And then you had Supergirl. It was just, I got into it, but I couldn't finish that one. But the other one I liked was
Lois and Clark, or Clark and Lois.
But that didn't have anything to do with that part. That was like, I would say that's like that's like Marvel.
Second stage of it.
Yeah, exactly.
The main actor
wasn't part of that group.
He came out of Supergirl.
Right. So it wasn't part of that
group. They're all connected, but it seems like it's more of a standalone
kind of thing. Exactly. Which that one I actually like.
I've seen really good things about that. I'm a big Superman fan. I was kind of apprehensive about them doing, focusing on the children and all that stuff, because call me a purist. When I see Superman, I'm there for Superman. Mm-hmm. I don't, not much for the kids, which will kind of spin off into what I've been watching. I caught up with Hawkeye.
Awesome. What do you think?
Oh, that was,
I really enjoyed it.
I love it.
Hawkeye was a lot of fun.
It is.
I know originally I was kind of saying that, maybe you've listened to a couple episodes, I was like, well, I'm here for Hawkeye. I don't give a shit about Kate Bishop, girl Hawkeye. I'm there for Clint Barton. But she really won me over in just like the first episode, fun and charming she was, and how she got the, spoiler alert, Ronin costume, and the one gentleman was murdered with a Ronin sword. I think everyone knows that.
Mm-hmm.
But just, I really liked it because she was not just this invincible person just ran in and just killed everybody. She got her comeuppance, and The production value is great. The acting is amazing. Oh my God. Amazing. I can't believe the cast they got. I mean, I can't. It's Disney money. They got the money.
Oh yeah. They definitely have the money for it.
So, I mean, Vera Farmiga alone, she's been in everything. She's like award winning. Like, and the young lady that plays Jeremy Renner, the kids, everything. And they got his wife back. I mean, right.
It was the way it started out. I don't know how to say it, not different, but just the way he came off, like he's, you know, well, we know he's a family man and all that stuff, but it's very like, he didn't really want to be like, oh, I don't want to do this again. Like I'm trying to be with the family, but
yeah,
he had to go and get his suit back. No spoilers, but he had to get that stuff back because, you know, and it reminded him of, well, when he was thinking about, exactly. You know, so all that stuff
on stage on the Rogers the musical, and call me crazy. Yeah. I kind of really want a soundtrack or at least a single of I Can Do This All Day.
Yeah, right. God. There's one out there.
You it know, there's so awful. There. It was so awful, but come on.
It was good. It was good. Come on.
Scarlet Witch. It was Agatha All Along, freaking charted. Okay. Like it was one on iTunes. Give me a I Can Do This All Day. Yeah. Just so I can roll my eyes and giggle like an idiot as I'm driving to work.
Right. Nah, that was awesome, man. That was awesome. I was watching it too. I was sitting there like I would actually go to
watch this.
I would go to a theater and watch that thing.
Broadway plays? Hell yeah, man. I love Broadway plays. But yeah, one thing I did like that they never really said on Bo, Chuck, and Sean, you guys all know this, that Hawkeye is deaf.
Yeah. Hawkeye is deaf, yes.
Barton is deaf. And when he turned his hearing aid down, his daughter said, Did you turn your hearing aid down? I don't know, man. That little fact, I'm like, yes, okay, cool.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. But they did show flashbacks of why he became deaf. All the explosions and all that stuff. You know, because remember he thought about it. He's like, yeah, I'm deaf. Or he said, you know,
sonic arrow and jammed it in his ear so he couldn't get hypnotized.
That's right. That was enough.
And I thought that's a selfless act.
Right.
Yeah. No, I love Hawkeye. And this show is amazing. It's really great. Mm-hmm. Check it out. Everybody has already checked it out. What else have been watching, Chuck? Anything cool?
Well, I've been watching, what's the name of it? Wheel of Time. You guys check that out yet?
I haven't yet.
I have not. I keep on seeing the trailers for it, though. It looks cool.
The first episode, I'm like, okay, you know. Not Game of Thrones, but Game of Thrones mixed with the Hobbits, you know, the Hobbit stories.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. You know, it's like that type of thing.
Cool.
But when the action started, I was like, okay, I'm in.
You're definitely in.
Yeah.
Okay.
The fourth one is on right now. That's what you heard earlier when I was playing. I had it in the background, I had to turn it down, but it's the storyline is pretty good. Really good, actually. So I would definitely recommend checking that out.
Very cool.
It's gonna be, yeah. It's a three-part book, I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a book, so it's a series of books. So it's not just something that was, you know, this is written from the books, and from what I hear, everyone is they say it's following the books very well. So I haven't read the books, but yeah, you check that out, guys. I think you're gonna like it.
Right on.
And the other thing I've been sent it out to you guys, Pig on Hulu.
Yes. Yeah. Now, what's that about? I have not had a chance.
I was disappointed because I thought, all right, well, it's a guy who has a truffle pig who goes out and looks for truffles, and the pig is stolen.
Oh.
So automatically, I'm thinking John Wick.
Yeah.
And the way the previews that I saw for it, you know, it's what the hell is his name? The actor. Oh my God. Guys, forgive me. I get this way. You know, I forget everybody's
Nick Cage.
Yeah, Nick Cage. Thank you.
And I'm not quick enough to look it up.
But Nick Cage, when they showed the previews, he's all beat up and everything. He looks haggard. He, you know, long hair. He's angry. He's yelling. Well, I don't want to spoil it, but yeah, he gets into a fight.
Perfect.
He gets into a fight, and that's it. You know. But the story is good. The story is good, though. It's still good. It's still a good story. I watched the whole thing.
Okay.
But I was looking for more action. That's all.
Really?
Yeah.
But I mean, it doesn't sound like it's like appropriate, because you know, a guy owns a truffle pig and it gets stolen. I don't know how much kind of action you're gonna play with that.
Right. I mean, but he loved his pig because same John Wick story. His wife died. He's living by himself. He's alone, and his pig is his best friend.
That's my pig.
Yeah.
Exactly. My pig is my best friend.
So
we go on Reddit together. We take him to a pizza.
Yeah, right.
Well, now I have to see it.
Right.
I want to see Jones' version of pig.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
I want to see Jones' one man reversion of pig.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Oh no, my pig. My pig is gone. I'm gonna go kill people, and that's how Nick Cage acts.
You sound like Dusty Rhodes.
Do I?
A little bit. I'd watch that too.
What was that?
I would totally watch that.
Dusty Rhodes, one man on one man rendition.
American Dream. My pig is gone.
I would rather watch Nick Cage pretending to be Dusty Rhodes, pretending to be Nick Cage's character in Big as a one-man show. I would pay money to go see that. I really would.
I would pay all the money.
Now, speaking about paying money to go see things, one thing I did not mention in my What's New that I did watch but I went to an actual show. And obviously, of course, all you people know that I love comedy, hence me being a comedian. But I saw Killers. I saw Annie Letterman perform at the Punchline. You guys familiar with her?
I've gleaned her a little bit on Twitter and stuff. I don't know fully about her.
She's one of the best comedians out there. She's always at the store. She's been on Annie Letterman.
Okay.
She's been on Joe Rogan. She's constantly at the store, constantly performing in the OR at the store, constantly going, selling out shows. She's did a sellout show at Punchline. It was fantastic. She had hometown favorite, friend of mine, great person that does comedy in the area, Peg O'Leary. She's a killer. She opened up for her. She did a fantastic job, just murdered. She had Eleanor Kerrigan feature for her. Eleanor Kerrigan is a South Philly comedy legend. All right. She is, there's like Dom Irera, and then there's Eleanor Kerrigan. She fucking crushed. She used to date Dice. So her and Dice, Andrew Dice Clay. Mm-hmm. used to date, or I think they were married and stuff like that. They're still good friends. I think they separated. Dice is dating some blonde broad, and Eleanor and stuff. They're still friends. They're still, you know, cozy and stuff like that. But
you bring up Andrew Dice Clay. I was actually flipping the channels and Ford Fairlane was on.
Yeah,
remember you guys ever seen that one?
Oh yeah, well, of course I saw it.
Was just pretty much. Showcasing Andrew Dice Clay being Andrew Dice Clay, who played a cop and just the greatest guy in the world. Oh God, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to detract.
No. Hey man, I mean,
and Wayne Newton was the bad guy, and Gilbert Godfrey was in it. So how do you lose?
Gilbert Godfrey, yeah, as good Lord, God, that's somebody. That's another person I would love to like actually see and like. In person. But no, man, Annie killed it, dude. She did a fucking fantastic job. Definitely, if she's coming to your town, you see her on the bill, go for it. It is a show. It's a show that you would love to go see. And listen, there's a lot of times that, you know, people say female comics don't crush. That's fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
I've seen more female comics crush than male comics.
Mm-hmm. Like, female comics have to work harder because they're not men. And that might sound sexist, but that's true.
Yeah, well, Jerry Lewis. That was Jerry Lewis. he hated every female comic. Yep. That's a fact. That Jerry Lewis did that. He's a dick. He's an asshole. I loved his movies back in the day, The Nutty Professor, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But when I found out about that about him, I was like, eh.
Is that all you guys been checking out? Because I really have not been watching too much other than Hawkeye and He-Man. In anticipation for December 22nd, The Matrix Part 4, I rewatched The Matrix trilogy back to back to back. And I know a lot of people are not really impressed with part 2 and part 3, but if you actually sit down and watch them back to back to back, the story makes sense. And the Wachowski siblings, they were men back in the day, now they're women. Mm-hmm. Do what you want. But they had a story and a directing, and it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. Some of the effects are a little dated, but it's the story holds up. The
story's there. Yeah.
The story holds up. Even like the battle at the end of part 3 that nobody liked, and the orgy like rave in part 2. If you watch it and just actually look at it, it makes sense. Everything makes sense. It rolls to a perfect trilogy. It really does. And the only reason I think part 2 and 3 kind of fell flat is because part 1 impressed everybody way too much.
Exactly.
And how do you follow perfection?
Exactly.
Because The Matrix, original one, is one of the most perfect movies.
Exactly.
It is. Hands down, from start to finish, it is.
Exactly. From the beginning. Definitely from the beginning. When you sit down and the movie starts and you see her walking, and when she does that first stunt, jumps up in the air,
the weirdest two arm kick, and like,
what am I watching right now? Because that's exactly what I was thought. My buddy took me there. He went and saw it first. Said, "You got to see this movie." I had no idea what it was. I didn't know anything about it. He's like, "You got to see this movie." I walk in there. He's looking at me when this scene comes on,
and he
sees my face. Like I perk up. Like, what the. That jump when she jumps in the air and she does her little and just spins
hands in the air,
or and then the camera, that was it. I was like, I'm in.
Weird panning thing.
Yep.
And that was revolutionary at the time.
Oh yeah, no, that's the first, that scene, and naturally the bullet dodging scene, mm-hmm. on the rooftop. But beyond that, I'm not gonna lie, it is weird seeing Keanu Reeves clean shaven.
Yeah,
but it works. And after I watched all three of them, I watched the trailer for, I'm blanking, what's the tagline for Matrix Part 4? Reborn?
It's The Matrix Resurrected.
Resurrection. There you go.
Resurrection.
I watched a couple trailers for it, and I got goosebumps. I'm so in for this. It's coming on 22nd. Like, as soon as tickets become available, I'm jumping on that. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll take the day off work to go see that, because.
All right. Speaking of that, what movie have you taken a day off to go see? Both of you. Is there any movie you said I'm not going to work, or if you were at work and said, let's get out of here? I know what movie I did, and I took all of us in the construction was like, yo, 12 o'clock, we're going to the movies. Don't say nothing. Don't answer your phone. Don't do anything. We'll be at the movies. I'll tell you what movie it was. It was Spider-Man.
Which one?
The first one. Tobey Maguire.
Oh, yeah?
Tobey Maguire. We all took off. We hookied that day from work.
I went and, I took off the day to go see Iron Man Part 2.
Really? All right.
Right. John?
The Spider-Man 1 brought some great memories back, because I remember I pressured my dad into getting tickets. I was like, Dad, if you don't get tickets to Spider-Man, don't even bother picking me up. Don't even bother picking me up. Like, you're single, you're free. I don't even want to talk to you. And I pestered him. Like, I asked the teacher for her phone so I can make a phone call.
Buy your son's love. Like, buy your son's love.
I'm like calling on the teacher's phone. Like, is everything okay? Yeah, everything's fine. Did you get them tickets yet? Like,
right.
But one movie I did. Yeah, one movie I wanted to, I did actually play hooky for, and I actually cut high school to go see this movie, was Star Wars 3, Revenge of the Sith. And here's the story.
Worth it.
We snuck in, right? Because there was a back way of the movie theaters that we were able to go in. We sneak in and we watch the movie, and we get to the point where they get to Mustafar at a fight. And just before he throat chokes Paname, the fucking theater goes down. They have a brownout.
Oh, no.
So we all exit the theater, right? And the manager's like, hey, you know, so sorry, we had a brownout. We're going to give you guys tickets to go come back tomorrow when we get everything back up, and you can go go see the movie again.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't buy any tickets, but I got free tickets for the movie that I snuck into. And I brought this girl I was dating at the time to the movie, right? Hey, baby, we got tickets. Yeah, let's go. How'd you get tickets? It's the day of. Ah, I got connections. Yeah. Brought her. We swapped spit up until that point up the Mustafar, and I pushed her away and said, don't touch me. And I just didn't even look at her.
So you didn't even let her see.
She didn't care. She knew what it was. All right, she knew what she was getting into. She didn't give a shit.
You stopped on
basically
that.
Using
the Anakin Obi-Wan fight.
Yeah, basically, yeah. So
I remember when that movie came out, I was reading the newspaper, and there was an article that said that there was a half an hour long fight between Obi-Wan and Anakin, and I'm like, that's all I need.
Yeah, right.
And I went and I saw the prequel. I saw Attack of the Clones, a lot in the theater. A lot of people, like I said, like the Matrix sequels, don't like them. You don't have to. I don't need you to. I loved all of them.
Right.
And watching, like, yeah, I don't like sand, all that bullshit. Shut up. Fucking Star Wars. Have fun.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Brad, do you know, I know you're old because you read newspapers.
I had a newspaper. Yeah, guess what? There was a time before screens.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
I know, you're weird. Your eyes really went wide there.
You're so old that you read Twitter on a cubic form clay tablet.
Right.
You're much older than me.
Yeah, I know exactly right. I'm like,
well, okay. Well, speaking of actually reading something that wasn't on a screen, the three of us are all like really big comic fans. I know, Chone, you went out and got a stack of comic books today, and I actually went out and bought a few comics myself.
Awesome. Are we going to do this? Are we going to do this segment? I can't wait.
I think we have to.
Yeah, I think we have to. So this is going to be great because we're going to not only put that, we're going to not only put this on audio, but we're going to also put this up on YouTube as well.
I think it deserves it.
I think so as well. And this is what we're going to call it. What we spent our money on.
Okay.
I'm so excited. So Brad, get yours. I'll get mine.
I got mine already.
I got mine right here, baby. Ah!
Look at that. Short box.
That was my nickname in high school, Short Box. But
I just brought three. There they are right there.
I bought more than three.
Right?
Bought a lot more than three, folks.
Actually, I brought four.
Okay.
So I got four.
So, since Shock already has is up, I want you to put him to the camera. What you bought.
Right.
Why you bought it and why you love it.
Well, we got Wolverine.
Wolverine Civil War.
Yep. Now, I don't know much about it. I don't know anything about it, actually.
I know a lot about it.
Well, there you go.
Because I got that.
Yeah, right. There you go.
I can tell you what it's about.
All right.
If anybody's ever read the Civil War storyline in which, oh my God, John, which
I got a lot of comic books. Sorry.
Which Captain America and Iron Man have their throwdown over the Registration Act.
Yeah.
There was a character called Nitro that actually started it all. His powers is he can spontaneously explode. He exploded at a school and murdered many children.
Okay.
In an attempt to escape the new warriors trying to get him.
Yeah.
Wolverine, in this story, has taken it upon himself to screw the X-Men, screw the Avengers. I'm Weapon X. I'm a trained killer. I'm going to go kill him. And that's what that is. That is Wolverine tracking down Nitro to murder him proper, because you can't kill children.
Okay. All right. I'm definitely going to get into that. That's
good. Oh, it's a great. Oh, dude. And dude, you're like, you're behind as well.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
You're behind, dude.
I look forward to your journey.
Look, all right. I mean, I'll pull out the old ones.
Reading that. That is so cool.
I'll pull out the old ones for you. All my old comics, because I got a whole bunch of them anyway.
Yes, please.
That's awesome.
What else you read?
Well, I brought this one for the new 52.
Okay.
Detective Comics.
Detective Comics.
Right. I got another new 52, just Batman. It's a hardcover.
Which one's that one?
It's -40. Can you see that?
Yeah. New 52, oh, yeah, that's a good one.
0 hour? 0 year.
What was that?
Zero year. 0 year.
Yeah, that was a good one. Oh, yeah, zero year, Secret City.
Yeah, that's Scott Snyder, right?
Yep, I think so.
Yeah.
And then I got this one off of your recommendation.
Oh.
Look at John. Floating through it.
Keanu Reeves.
Like a blackjack dealer.
Speaking of Keanu Reeves, right? Yeah.
Have you read any of it?
Not yet. I'm going to sit down and I've been working.
It's great. Yeah. Who's the other writer? It's Keanu Reeves and I don't have the copy. Yeah. Right. Matt Wood?
Matt Kent.
This is what I got right here.
Look at that.
Two variant editions of the first issue of The Berserker.
How badass
is that? Yes. So two variant editions, and yeah, this is awesome. And I'm gonna keep these.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I got a lot of comics.
Don't read those. Actually, just go out and get the trade, and then hang those up on your wall.
Yeah, exactly. Hang them. Yep.
Yeah, I got so many comic books. Like I got Excalibur. I got the Darkhold. I got a couple Batman variant. I got a lot of variants. Eternal variants edition, Eternals, Defenders, a lot of Venom stuff. What else did I get? Ooh, I got this one. This one I'm really proud about. Archie Meets the Punisher.
Well, get out of here.
I read that.
Yeah.
I read that. And that is a classic take on the first time Punisher made his appearance in Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is a first print, and it didn't really print that much, and it's all so badass. Yeah, man. Yeah, dude, all I had to do was go to my local comic book shop, Blue Line Collectibles. Shout out Blue Line in South Philly. If you're ever in the area, Blue Line Collectibles, fucking great. Really is great.
Chuck, what's your comic store? Shout it out.
Right now, it's New, what's it called? New World. New World, it's in Willow Grove. I forget the name of it. The whole total. Okay. My very first was Fat Jacks, though.
Fat Jacks. Yeah. Hey, shout out the Fat Jacks. They're a friend of the. They're a friend of the podcast. They.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Okay.
Yepper,
that
Fat Jacks.
Very first comic book store.
Well, that's awesome. We can get some of the guys on, and they can actually talk the ins and outs of the comic book industry because
they have been on. They were on a Jones Corner.
It is apparel. Actually, like there is more adventures actually just navigating buying comics and trying to sell them than half of the adventures that are in the comics. It's ridiculous. It is the most backward system in the world, and I cannot believe these guys are still killing it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Kevin Smith talks about that all the time.
The one gentleman on his podcast from Diamond Comics. But funny enough, Diamond Comics does not have Diamond Distributing does not have the monopoly on the comics that it used to, because a lot of people are doing like self-publishing.
They're shit.
Which? Diamond?
Diamond is shit.
Yeah, they owned it too long, and they had too much power for too long.
I got this one. This one. Wolverine versus Sabretooth, and it has the 3D glasses in it.
Get out of there.
It's so badass. I don't even want to open it up, but I kind of do. And guess what? I got it for that one. I got for $1, I think.
Oh yeah. Hey guys, if ever you go
nonstop by Spider-Man,
if ever you go to a comic convention, you have all the celebrities. Joan, you worked with a lot of them. You have all the movie premieres, stuff like that. Do yourself a favor. If you see a guy vending comic books, go talk to him. This is where all these wonderful things that we talk about on scenes come from.
Yeah, right.
All comic books. Everything, all of it. Yeah. X-Core. Is that a Scotty Young?
Yeah, right.
Scotty Young.
Yeah, variant? Yeah. Scotty Young variant. So love it. And I just mostly just got a variant. So that's mostly all I got. Like,
I love it.
Yeah, I mean, as a collector, I love variants. I mean, yeah, I'll grab an issue or whatever, but I like the variants. That's why it's where the money is.
Right, right.
Well, so, as long as we're rooting out so much, what is your publisher of choice? We all love the Marvel movies and all that, and I Marvel forever. I always love Marvel. I love DC, but as of late, honestly, it's been Image and Boom and Dark Horse for me.
Okay.
Boom's been killing it. Hey, man, Boom's been killing it. They've been coming out of a lot of great series. They're doing a lot of great things in their marketing side. I mean, they're doing pretty good stuff.
Well, the only thing that I'll always tout, they're becoming more mainstream. I'll tout the independent comics industry, the creator-owned stuff, because all these writers that have worked for Marvel, worked for DC, if you get them a chance to actually write their own stuff, the comic books that you're reading, they have stakes. The lead character might not survive. If you read a Batman comic, Batman is going to be around for our children's children's children.
Right.
You present a story arc and you write it and they like it. But at the end of your story arc, at the end of your contract, all Batman's toys, his characters, everything, all has to be put back in the box for the next writer to play with. If you go and you read, well, anybody ever read Invincible? Watch the Amazon show?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Read Invincible. Not everybody survives.
Yeah, not everyone survives at all.
Because that is not an intellectual property that's selling a child's kite or a lunchbox or anything like that. Batman, Superman are never going to die. I hate to tell you this. They are not in any trouble ever.
Yeah, right.
They're gonna have entertaining stories, sure.
Right.
But
you know they're not dying. Right. So and when they do die off, they come back.
The independent comics Image Publishing is one that I've been really enjoying, and that's actually what I bought. I bought a one that I loved from the 90s. I bought this originally. It is Darkness.
Okay, all right.
It's the story of a sex addicted professional hitman who inherits the power of the darkness, and Witchblade's in there and antics ensue, and it is 90s art, fantastic. So guess what? Women's chests are really big and they probably all have back problems and the skirts are short and the violence is there and everybody looks great, but I loved it. Mm-hmm. I loved it. And the other one that I'm going to tote, and I actually talked to this gentleman a lot on Twitter, is Sunstone.
Okay.
Sunstone, ooh, volume one.
Hot.
Very hot. Oh, God. Volume two?
Basic.
I'm going to do the whole thing. Volume three. If you guys are not really figuring out what this story is about, I can't help you. Volume 4. Volume 5.
Fill in five. Okay. All right. I think we get the gist that you're a dirty old man. I think that's
first of all, I am not dirty.
No, you just need help.
I have my help with my comics.
I thought you were showing your hands. That were your help. I was about to be like, that's not that kind of show.
It's becoming that kind of show. No, it is a story about two women that fall in love. It is a slice of life story. They fall in love within the BDSM community and just navigate all the, well, peaks and valleys that roll with it. It is by an artist writer, Stefan Sage, and he is an amazing talent. It just, his artwork is fantastic. His writing is legit, honest, and true.
They look good.
And you don't get any better. Like, this is a story you will actually laugh and honestly cry. And it's really hot.
Right. That was going to be my next question. But
it's awesome. Really freaking hot. No, turn the lights down low, grab some tissues, rock and roll.
Oh, God. And I think
you cry. You cry, pervert. What's wrong with you?
And I think with that, I think we're gonna move on to some news. So, it's kind of swing it over to the kid section or whatever section this is. I'm sorry, the kids. There is no kid section right here. Jason's on here.
Let's go to some news. I know, like, Jonah's always scouring the greatest news sources. So entertain us.
I am. Well, if you fucking let me, maybe I will. So we got North Korean man has been sentenced to death for smuggling the Squid Games. And did you hear about this?
No, I didn't hear about it.
Several people who have watched this have received harsh penalties. And this is coming over from our friends from Screen Crush. There are our sponsors of our news, some of our news, at least anyway. But yeah,
in North Korea,
somebody smuggled a flash drive with the series on it and was caught. A group of students, and while six others watched the show, they were sentenced to 5 years of hard labor. Some of the teachers and administrators of this school that were attended were also fired and faced banishment to work at remote mining sites. Imagine there's a television show out there that, wow, if you watch it, you and your whole entire family get sent to a mine, like, that you have to chip rocks at.
That's what I'm pitching, like pickaxe and shit.
Oh yeah, you have to do 5 years of hard labor. This is North Korea, baby.
That's what they say.
It's hard. No, but you know what?
Crushing rocks all day.
That sounds,
yeah, awful. And the violence
sounds like it should not happen in this day and age over a flash drive of a TV show.
Oh, the violation of is receiving laws against elimination of recreational thought and culture. So it is a crime against the culture of the North Korean people that they have to be banished to 5 years of hard labor. I don't think there's like any show or movie I can think of that, like, okay, maybe the Kardashians. If they had the same thing in the Kardashians, like, you watch the Kardashians and like you watch all of it and like you got to get sent to like do hard labor. I think that'd be cool.
Kardashians, you should actually get sent, or Sex and the City.
I think Sex and the City, I think you should be all walked outside to a wall and be shot. I think you should do more. They should throw more things at you than they did Osama bin Laden. If you watch Sex and the City,
but, I say, never having seen it, I watched about 4 minutes of it and I said, done.
Oh, Sex and the City is good. Sex and the City isn't that bad. It's okay. But yeah, man, we wish them, we wish North Korea man well. But we have another thing as well. Not North Korea, but Italy. Chris Pratt won't be doing an Italian accent for Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, I heard he was going to be the character. Yeah. He's the lead for the animated series, right? It's an animated series or animated movie, or is it?
I think this is going to be live action.
No, they said it was animated.
Is it going to be Adam?
Yeah, I thought it was too. And I'm like, there's no way he could be Luigi.
Wasn't doing an
anime. It is animated. Yes, you're right. Yeah. And the movie is supposed to be a phenomenon. Say is sourcing the co-producer Mike or Chris Malenti or something. I don't know. But yeah, he won't be doing an Italian accent. Honestly, I don't care.
Okay, I have to ask a question. Are you allowed to do an Italian accent?
Of course you are. If you're playing an Italian person, you have to do an Italian person. Yeah.
That was
stereotypical. It's me, Mario. Is that going to fly?
I just don't think you could be like a white dude like me and do a Jamaican accent and be like, come on, man. Come on, man. Put your brain in a bird. And birds body and fly backwards, yeah, man. Come on, man.
No, I agree. You should never do that.
Jamaicans Jamaicans fucking love idioms and stupid shit like that. Love that shit.
I mean, yeah.
I used to have a Jamaican boss. I used to work for a high-end clothier, and I would always fuck with them and go, come on, man, you're Jamaicaning me crazy right now.
Yeah, I'm gonna say you never do that ever again either. Right. No, Chris Pratt, I mean, he's Chris Pratt. So I mean, I don't see him doing anything over the top or anything. And who's directing it? Like, is there a showrunner?
Yeah, right.
Everybody always blames the actors. But you know what? The directors and the showrunners say, yeah, that's good.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know really who's directing it. Neither do.
If it is a show, it's going to be multiple directors. But.
Well, it's a movie. But I'm not going to lie. I don't give a shit who directs this. I don't think anyone cares who directs this. I don't think the studio cares who directs this.
Is it relevant now? Is Luigi relevant? Is it relevant now? I mean, what games are out? What Mario Brothers games Smash are out?
Brothers? Is that like the last time?
Is that a new one? Or is
it... Yeah, it's about the newest thing I can think of. You just
wanted to be Solid Snake and shoot the fuck out of Mario.
Yeah, well, is it relevant? I mean, my son is 14 years old. He doesn't play Mario Brothers. I don't even think he knows who it is.
No.
You know?
Nah. I just think for the woke culture, I think that's a big. I think I don't know. That's a thing. I don't know.
Oh yeah, the Italian thing. Well, there was a controversy about him being cast in that role and not being Italian, and that he's a major actor, and why couldn't they get a smaller actor who's actually Italian who could probably pass it off? It's just the voice.
It's silly. It's made by. It's silly though. It's made by a Japanese gaming company.
Really? Yeah, try it.
Like, it's fucking silly. What are we talking about here?
Really, like, we talked about this with The Shrink Next Door last week about how, like, the three main actors, you know, Kathryn Hahn, Paul Rudd, and Will Ferrell played like almost Hasidic Jew characters. And I think Paul Rudd might be the only one that has some Judaism in his lineage
background, right
now. Everybody always says, no, you need to get
you Jewish mean background. Orthodox Jews, they're not Hasidic Jews.
Oh, I'm they sorry, don't... yeah, pardon me,
yeah.
But like, I don't understand that only homosexual actors can play homosexual parts,
right? And
Jewish people can play Jewish parts,
you're right? They're actors,
it's kind of their job to. Guess what? Tom Cruise is not. Really a secret agent.
Exactly.
And you're right. Robert Downey Jr. isn't Iron Man anymore. And right. He never was. It's acting.
You're acting. You're portraying you're putting up you're trying to that role. You're portraying that role.
Harvey Milk.
Mm-hmm.
You ever seen Milk?
Sean Penn. Correct. Yeah. He plays
Sean Harvey. Sean Penn and Dave Franco, neither one of them are homosexual.
Far from it. Sean Penn is very far from being.
And they both played parts, Oscar-worthy parts.
They got nominated.
Because they're actors.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know, like, you mentioned, like, the woke generation, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm old school.
No, you're absolutely right.
Well, if you are good for the part, you get the part. If you put the work in, you get the part.
Well, that's the reason.
Has something to say that they are actually really good at what they do, and you do not have to be anything. It's even a more like a tribute to their skill that if you can play something you're not,
right,
that's acting,
right?
It's all make pretend anyway. Are you really upset?
No, exactly.
First world fucking problems these people have with you can't play that. Piss off.
Right.
It's right. But we live in such a 24-hour news cycle that sometimes it's just like, okay, what can we be offended by now? What can we be mad about now? Exactly. And listen, this is just gonna blow away. There's not gonna be, no one's gonna riot in the street about Chris Pratt having an Italian voice. I mean, come on. It's just silly. It's just silly. But speaking about Paul Rudd, though, Ant-Man and the Wasp 3, Quantumania, has already wrapped shooting. Despite the fact that a movie is not due in theaters for at least 18 months.
Wow.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, the news was announced by director Peyton Reed, who posted in a tweet stating that it is now complete as far as principal photography is concerned and everything like that. And yeah. I mean, listen, man, they Marvel is known for doing shit post production. I mean, Spider-Man Far From Home and Doctor Strange, it had to be written, had to be rewritten, man. Right. Like,
well, they have all the effects they have to play with, and everyone has been kind of signed in.
But I'm just talking about the story, though. Like,
I think Ant-Man and the Wasp 3 is going to be the sleeper hit that kind of bridges a lot of things that nobody is really expecting it to.
Oh, it's not going to be. I don't know about that, the sleeper business. I don't think it's going to be a sleeper at all. I think it's going to be a fucking knockout, man. I mean, that you already have, you know, He Who Remains, Jonathan Majors coming back to be Kang the Conqueror, and it's called Quantumania.
Yeah,
I think this is going to be on some like Avengers level shit.
I hope so, because I'm excited for all these.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think they're gonna redo filming. I think they're gonna redo casting. I mean, they're already doing extensive filming on Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. They've added already, you know, 6 or 8+ more weeks of shooting. And I mean, hell, dude, Doctor Strange was pulled out of WandaVision on the last moment, at the last second.
Yeah.
So, and that was gonna tie into all those commercials that we saw, all that shit. I mean, it's all under Kevin Feige's head, you know.
Yeah.
Well, he's done so well this far, and I mean, this is going to be, I don't know, the Eternals kind of nailed it. It's a tough start when, like, it was kind of a crescendo with Endgame, and to get that momentum going again,
right,
you, like, starting with Eternals was, that's a, you know, a tough road to hoe, but like, you gotta like wind us up with Spider-Man, wind us up with Doctor Strange, wind us up with Guardians of the Galaxy, all the characters we know, and then segue into Eternals. I'm saying this not having any stakes in the movies, just thinking, I'm not like, these guys have made billions of dollars, so what the hell do I know? Right. And having a little hiccup really does not mean that you're a failure or anything like that. That being said, I have not seen The Eternals yet. I plan on going seeing it because I'm a fan of the cast, and I like the comic books back in the day, and I'm just kind of curious.
See it. Go see it. Definitely see. Definitely see Ghostbusters after. We already did. You already did see that.
Next week, Ghostbusters next week.
Oh, you got to watch it, man. You got to watch it.
See Ghostbusters. I get to see The Eternals.
Did anybody see? Did anybody see that meme that I posted with Bill Murray that said, why am I here? I created that meme. All right. I want this to go fucking viral. Yes, I did. I want this to go viral, that. Folks. Let's help your boy out. Let's go viral. All right. I want this to go viral. Yeah, I tagged that over to the director, and Jason Rick, Reitman, and let's see. But, let's see. Now, in other news, Mass Effect is becoming a TV series for Amazon, the hit video game. Any of you guys fans of Mass Effect? Mass Effect's awesome. I played it.
I don't know.
I played part 3 because it was a, it was a really good first person shooter, and nobody else was playing it. And to jump in on on these things later is hard because already knows how to kill you.
Yeah.
Like, well, unless you're on the ground floor, it's really hard to start a new game.
I mean, you got to give it time though. But I mean, maybe once this TV series comes out on Amazon, maybe you'll get a little bit more inkling to play it a little bit more.
I'll play anything, run around shooting stuff. That's great.
Now, other live action series that are getting their first TV debut is one of my personal favorites. MacGruber returns for its first TV series. It's coming on Peacock in December. Also, too, that's coming in December. Listen, but
speaking of Rose Off the Bloom, like, come on, when was that movie?
Oh, a couple years ago, but it's still a classic, though.
18 years ago, like.
Maybe, yeah.
And when was Will Fort? I believe
Will Fort, yeah,
good actor. And that was like just a mini sketch on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, it was a mini sketch. Yeah, and it just turned into fucking gold.
What, MacGruber?
Yeah, MacGruber.
Yeah.
It's so funny, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty funny. I think we watch it a couple of times. You get drunk enough, and you take enough shrooms. Anything would be funny.
It was a playoff of
Watch the Matrix again.
Yeah,
the show was a playoff of the guy who used to
MacGyver.
Richard Dean Anderson.
That's right. So, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Stars. Yes. Man alive. Stargate SG-1 fame. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, two other shows that are getting their live action debuts that have just been confirmed is Blade Runner and Alien. They're getting a live action TV series. Ridley Scott has confirmed both shows are being are in development as we speak. So, yeah.
Which one do you think is going to do better?
Where can you go with Blade Runner? There's an animated series based off Blade Runner. I tried watching it and the animation was just not really there. And it didn't really catch me. The names escaped me. It's very unforgettable, but I believe it was on Netflix. I gave it a shot because Blade Runner's animation. I'm a big animation fan.
You're right.
It kind of fell flat compared to, He-Man Revelations and all the other things that they got out there. But where can you go with a live action Blade Runner? Are they just going to hunt down replicants?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
I'd say an Alien one has more meat to it. Because,
yeah, potential to go further, right?
You know, aliens, you know, they're attacking. What do? You send the Marines.
Right. Well, do you know about the new Alien movie that's coming out? The one where the beginning? Where they go to, it's like the Mayans.
No,
it's based on
the origin of Alien.
Yeah, it's basically that. Well, it's when they come to Earth for the first time, and they're fighting the Mayans. And there's a female who's the hero. She's a Mayan warrior, not a warrior, but she just takes over, and she fights the aliens. So she's basically Arnold Schwarzenegger, but she's a Mayan. Princess, not a princess, but you know what I mean. She's a Mayan. So this is, I only saw a little bit of it. I'm trying to look it up now, but that's the next Alien, big Alien movie. And it takes
all that stuff. I love the Xenomorphs. It's such a really cool concept. Yeah. And I remember seeing Aliens, Alien, on VHS with sitting around with a buddy of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And it was scary.
Yeah, right.
It was legit. It was a horror movie.
You know the tagline? No one hears you scream in space. That was the tagline.
We can hear you scream.
No, yeah.
They rolled it perfect. Ooh. And then Aliens was more action, and that captured everybody's imagination. But go back and watch Alien, and just think about yourself being in an enclosed space with a murder animal.
Mm-hmm.
That if it smells you, sees you, hears you, breathes you, it attacks like lightning.
Mm-hmm.
And you had Leighton Koppel, Sigourney Weaver, who was in Ghostbusters Afterlife, which was really cool, just slowly moving around. And I don't know, they don't make movies like that anymore. Everything is always so flash, bang, go, go, go. But suspense, suspense is tough because nobody has the attention span anymore.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
It was like a
everything happens in 15-minute clips or TikTok videos and all that stuff. And I'm not being that old guy saying, no, I don't like this because I enjoy all that stuff too. But to actually sit back and watch and feel suspense, like your palms get clammy and you're just uncomfortable in your seat. Right. That rarely happens anymore. And if you can nail a good suspense movie and get everybody with this, you know,
yeah,
gratitude generation, you're gonna win.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably one of the most perfect. That's a perfect, almost a perfect. Well, I put it out there. That's a perfect horror movie.
It really is.
That is.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really is. That's pretty much really it I have for the news. Johnny Depp and Amber Heard's documentary is coming to Discovery. That's going to be a two-episode documentary.
Okay.
It's going to be Johnny versus Amber.
I'm a big Aquaman fan, and I'm the one. was Amber Heard recast in Aquaman? I know everybody wanted her to be.
I heard that she's not going to be part of
it. Clark from Game of Thrones is going to be the new Mira. I don't think elevated or executed or did anything good, bad, or ugly in the movie. But yeah, is anything going to happen? Because I'm not going to lie, I'm there for Jason Momoa with his shirt off. We all are. Don't lie.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the question is anything going to happen? Are we really going to care that much? Like, I don't know. We'll see. Well, I mean,
hope not. I'm going to go to the theater to see it. Come on.
I don't know. I'm torn. Personally, I think if you do all that crap, there should be consequences, on both sides. And honestly, just who cares? Recast her. I don't care. Or just kill her off. I wouldn't even care. Honest to God, I wouldn't even care.
Well, honestly, we'll be the one to say that I'm not going to see an Aquaman for his girlfriend.
Right. Well, I mean, me personally, I don't think that her personal life has anything to do with her acting.
Yeah, me neither. You know,
so that's between them two. They got into fights and they did that. Now they're getting divorced. And why is this such a big thing? They're getting divorced. So what?
I think when you cut somebody's finger off and shit on their bed,
it came out that the dog did it and it really wasn't human. He was super drunk. His mother died. His mother died and she threw a bottle at him or
something
like that. So it's like,
Chuck, okay. It just sounds like you're trying to get some pussy right now. I don't know.
We all want to have sex with Johnny Depp.
I guess so.
I like Johnny Depp better than I like her. So,
can you like divorce the artist from the art?
We always talk about this. I think you can.
It is a recurring theme.
I think you can. I think you can't. And I think there's certain times.
Right. Let me give you an example.
What you got?
Michael Jackson. Now,
yeah,
his early stuff. Come on, you can't deny his music back in the day. I mean, even if you're not a fan, you can't deny what he did. Do I think he was doing something with kids? After looking at that documentary, I'm on the side of I think he might have been, but people still try to argue with me. And say,
they were also paid. Listen, they were also heavily paid. Those guys are heavily paid for that documentary. Like,
So you're one of the ones who you can.
No.
You can stir my argument to, well, maybe you're right that it didn't happen. So I don't know what happened. So I'm not going to deny his music.
It probably happened.
I'm not going to sit there and turn his music off. If it comes on, I don't buy it or anything.
Yeah.
But if it came on the radio, I'm not going to turn it off.
Now there's
a good song.
There is one recasting that is really interesting. That's kind of making some waves, and it's the recasting of T'Challa. Now, obviously, of course, Marvel said that they will not recast Chadwick Boseman's T'Challa out of respect for his memory and things like that. But there's a lot of kind of backlash on the internet that says that possibly it would be disrespectful to Chadwick Boseman's memory if you don't. It's an interesting argument. It's a really interesting argument.
I think if he could speak, he would probably say, no, keep it going, because that's what type of guy he was.
I think so as well.
That guy he was.
You can pivot and have an exact answer and not it be a T'Challa. Like, if the movie's called Black Panther.
Right. It doesn't have to be T'Challa. You're right.
No, it could be Killmonger from an alternate
universe. Exactly.
It could be...
I'm talking about recasting the whole entire character for a new actor. That's the whole entire argument. We can sit here all day and say that, yeah, there's been tons of other Black Panthers. That's not what we're talking about here, folks. Yeah. What we're talking about is recasting T'Challa. Same character. Yeah. Okay. I'm on the fence with it.
Okay.
I'm on the fence with it. I see good sides to both points. Mm-hmm. But I would love to hear listeners' thoughts on this. Do you think we should recast T'Challa? Do you think we should not recast T'Challa, and why? And write into us, you know.
Right.
Innovators@gmail.com. Tweet.
Throw it up on the Innovators lunch table if you're not on Facebook, everybody is.
Yeah.
Check out the Innovators lunch table group. And tonight I'm gonna throw out a question. Would you recast T'Challa?
Spike, yeah.
Chadwick Boseman, phenomenal performance. Right. And one thing I'm touting is, what actor actor can really not fill the shoes, but who would want to try to?
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
I'm sure there's somebody out there.
I know there is somebody, and he might show up and do the greatest thing in the world, but he's never going to be, it's going to be 50-50. People are going to love him and people are going to hate him.
Right.
Like, what about the gentleman from, Tenet, Washington?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I love him.
Washington's son.
And I think he could honestly do it, because he's a great actor. He's got he's intense. He's fun. He's light. But like, look at his eyes. He's great.
Right.
Would he be T'Challa? Would they do that? Would he want to do it?
It would have to be somebody definitely charismatic as you know, it would have to be somebody you would like. You just can't have anybody come up and do it, because they're going to be compared to him.
John did no, not really. Chadwick Boseman was a pretty up and coming actor. He wasn't really unknown. He was in
Never gonna nail that, but
John David Washington is a very good choice. But he's a little bit, I don't know. So he's only 5'9".
Yeah, he's a little bit.
Right?
He's a little.
And.
Yeah. Tom Cruise is 4'3".
Yeah, right.
You know, get an Apple box.
Yeah, right.
Henry Cavill is 6'4". And, you know, they threw down in a fight back and forth in Mission Impossible.
So, very true. Very true.
I hate to tell you this. There's people can't really fly, and there's no Incredible Hulk. It is.
Well, Chadwick Boseman's 6 foot. So I don't know, but we'll see. Post it in the lunch table. Send it over to us. Danny will be back next week. Our fearless leader. He's coming back to us next week. It's going to be great. Is there anything else that we need to talk about tonight? Any other news? No?
We watch stuff. We read stuff. We listen to stuff.
Yeah.
We're good.
All right. Well,
you gotta do better.
Who has to do better? I gotta do better. The audience has to do better.
Moan and Chuck, better than me. Christ.
Yeah.
Carried me this whole goddamn episode.
Yeah, right.
That's not true. It's only half true.
It's it took a long time for you to say that. I'm just
it only took me a little bit of time, but as always, I'm Chone out.
Brad from Canada. Be nice to each other.
Yep. Have a good one, y'all.
That was Chuck.
Yeah.
He's so humble to not introduce himself.
Yeah, Chuck, right. Just the point where you introduce voice. You say bye to people. But yeah, right. All right, guys. We'll see you. We'll see you around. Peace.
All right.
See ya.
Oh, thank you.